Hey friends, welcome back to the Pulpit to Pew podcast and this week's edition of The Classroom as we continue through the book of Hebrews. Today we've come to chapter 4. Last week we were off. We had a guest speaker at our church, but this week we were back into chapter 4. So I did a lot of review since we had a week off, and I was doing a lot on the whiteboard. You won't be able to see it listening, but I had a little stick figure with a line in front of them that said towards Canaan, and so I doubt you'll be able to imagine that. Maybe I should have put a little picture in the show notes. But we're talking about a very important message for Christians, talking about the Christian life and the life of submission, life sometimes called the victorious Christian life. And so, without further ado, let's jump into Hebrews chapter 4. All right, let's take our Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 4. We're making our way through the book of Hebrews, and we've come to chapter 4, and we started, as I said earlier to the class, those that will be listening later, I haven't said it to you yet, but we started 2 weeks ago dealing with this idea of rest. And I want you to think right now, I want to open kind of with a question. It's not for you to answer, I just want you to think through this question throughout the study. Could you say right now that your life is at rest? I don't mean did you go to sleep and get 8 hours of sleep and you feel rested. I didn't, so I don't feel rested when it comes to that. But I mean, do you feel restless or do you feel at rest? Think about the different things. Sometimes we're restless because of different anxieties, and anxious has come up quite a bit, maybe in this lesson, but we're anxious about some situation at work, we're anxious about some situation with our health, we're anxious about life, so we're restless. We can be restless over a variety of things, but do you sense that you're at rest or are you restless? Now, when it comes to a couple of these, you may have said, yeah, I know I'm at rest when it comes to this. We've talked last week in chapter 3, though chapter 3 wasn't talking about all three necessarily, but there are three types of rest in the Bible. There's the rest that comes at salvation. For me, at about 12 years old, when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have that rest now in my soul. I have peace with God. At that time, when I was 12 years old, I realized that I was a sinner. I was convicted of my sin, that I was a sinner against God. I realized that my righteousness was filthy rags. Only the righteousness of Christ would save me. I realized that judgment was coming because I was condemned in my sin. And so, upstairs in that house, I confessed my sin, cried out to God by faith. That's a key word today. By faith, let me just write that word down. I'm going to do some writing today. By faith, I received the rest of salvation when I was 12 years old. So if I were to ask you that simple question at the beginning, do you have the rest that comes at salvation? Have you been saved? I'd hope everyone in this room would say yes. And the only way that you did that was by faith. I did it that day by faith. Let me skip the second one, because that's what we've been talking about, and come to the third one. Because of what I did right here, one of these days I'm going to be at eternal rest. And that's what we call heaven. I'm not going to have to deal with sin anymore. I'm not going to have to deal with pain anymore. Ryan came in here, played a basketball tournament yesterday. He's probably a little sore. He's tired. He's a little bit sore. Why? Because he was playing some basketball, and he's out of shape, and he's old. All right, so that's the reason. All right, he's younger than me, But it happens. If I'd have played, I mean, just throwing a baseball, I'm sore. I don't have to deal with that right here one day. Boy, no more pain, no more sorrow. Don't have to deal with the anxieties. Don't have to deal with sin. Eternal rest is coming. Not there yet. Don't know when it's going to happen. But one of these days, I'm going to have eternal rest. I believe that by what? Faith. Because I've never been there. Never seen it. I know books say that they've been there and they've seen it. I don't even have faith in the books. I just have faith in what the Bible says. The Bible says that one of these days, this is going to happen. Because one day, this happened. And when I was a little kid, this is not me in this illustration, but it will be for now, all right? When I was a little kid at 12 years old, when I got saved, I knew about this. And I couldn't wait. So in my 12-year-old mind, and this is what I see in a lot of Christians today, different ages, and it happened to me for many years, I knew that one day I was going to have rest. But my mindset was, the rest of my life, though, was just going to be restless because, man, all these sinners are around me and I sin. And so it just has to be, that's the word, key word, it just has to be restless but one day I'll be at rest. It has to be restless, but one day I'll be at rest. But there's another rest talked about in the Bible. It's actually the rest of submission. It doesn't say those three words, rest of submission, just like it doesn't say eternal rest. But it's a principle talked about in the Bible. And it's one that, if you've been in my class, I don't want to apologize for this, but I do. You've heard me talk about it quite often. But it's because of our really limited view of what the gospel is. Because when I got saved right here, I did realize that this was coming one day, and I realized that this happened right here, but I didn't really realize that the gospel also affected my Christian life. That now, even at 11 years old, when I went to school, I didn't have to be restless because the Christ in me. I didn't have to worry about everything because I'm now in Christ and I can trust him by faith. As you hear me teach quite often, I didn't have to, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, goodness, I think I missed in there. I had all those available to me, but the opposites of those, I didn't have to worry about selfishness, opposite of love, instead of joy, frustration, instead of peace, worry. And so a lot of Christians get this idea that I got saved, so I have that rest. I'm going to heaven, so I have that rest. But the rest of my life is just going to be filled with worry and frustration and everything like that. Whoa, that's the opposite of what God wants. Because the gospel came to not only free us from our past, give us a future, but in the present, give us victory. That's why we sing this song and the hymn, Victory in Jesus. That's not saying victory in Jesus one day. That's not the song. It's victory in Jesus right now. We can have victory in Jesus Christ over whatever we face. Now, last week, when we started this, the Hebrew author has been talking to these weary Christians, Jewish believers that are restless. And they're restless and they're thinking about going back. They've been under, I'm going to say, the bondage of this legalism that came from their Judaism and of all these things that they needed to do. And they're just weary. They've been facing some persecution. And so unbelief is creeping in. Not unbelief that would necessarily take them, you can't take away your salvation, but just unbelief in this submission. Like, I don't know that I can trust Jesus in this life, that I knew life that I have in Christ. And so and to illustrate it, he said, let me go back to Moses, because that's someone these Jews respect. And he said, let me go back to Moses when he's leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. Leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, they were free by faith, but they placed the blood, remember, on the doorpost. It's a picture of salvation. It's a picture of this rest right here. They were brought out of the bondage and the restlessness of bondage, and they were set free from that by the blood. They sacrificed that lamb, and they were left Egypt. And fast forward now to where my character is, they got all the way to the promised land. And man, when they came to that promised land, they looked ahead and they saw this is the land of Canaan. So Canaan, or two A's up here probably, but either way, just let it go, all right? We're going to let everything go. There's no whiteboard spell check. We're going to invent one. But so that's the land of Canaan. We know that for up there. But it's also all of this is, I'm going to put it right here, rest. This is, both sides are going to be represented, but he said, this is rest. And so they were standing there at the crossroads. Here is the promised land. All you have to do is move forward and trust me. Faith. Trust, submit. They were, instead, as I said last week or 2 weeks ago, they got restless, didn't they? Because they looked into the land and they saw over here, first was everything God promised. All the promises. Man, it's beautiful land. Flowing with milk and honey. Matter of fact, my wife, I don't know if she did, she was doing something somewhere else over there, but I got onto the maps again this week, and I'm like zooming in on that land, the Goshen land. You look at it, it's like brown everywhere on your map except for this area right here. It's real green, and the rivers run through there. It's beautiful. Man, this land was perfect, just what Jesus said for them back in the time. And they even came back with those big old grapes saying, look here, it's everything God said. And so you would think, all right, trust God. It's everything he said. Just move forward. But they got restless because the spies said, but there's giants in the land. And these giants made them restless. Now a decision has to be made. If it was no restless, if it was just perfection, I mean, if it's just going to be perfect, everybody's just going to walk right in. Everybody's just going to take it. But they got restless. Now they have to make a decision. So let's pause that story for a second. Think about our life. I'm going to get to the text, but you got to understand what we're talking about. So let's think about our life. I'm 42 years old. I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I've got the promise of Christ. He's given me victory, salvation. And so I know one day this is going to happen. I know this happened in the past. I've already told you about. But I actually have this today. So do you if you're saved. And so I just got to trust him. And if the life for the Christian was easy and smooth and nothing, then this would all be easy. I would just trust God every day and it'd be easy. But there's these enemies, right? And you've heard me talk about the enemies. We've got the world, right, trying to stop and oppose me. I've got some internal enemy, if you've heard me teach this before, called the flesh, right? The old flesh trying to oppose me, cause me to be restless. And then we have this enemy, the devil. And he's supposed, why did I do that? That, I can't leave it, guys. I just can't do it. It's going to look dumb, all right? The devil, and he's trying to oppose me. So I have these three enemies that I've taught them before that are trying to oppose me. Now, I already have victory in Jesus. Victory comes by faith. I already have victory in Jesus. But there's this little problem that I have, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago. It's called sometimes unbelief. Unbelief. Now, it's not unbelief like right here, but sometimes on just a daily basis, I just don't take the promise that God has given me. And so I can worry, or I can get angry, or I can get short-tempered, or I can get whatever it may be. If it was easy, if there was no giants, they would have just walked right into the land of Canaan and accept all the promises. If it was easy for us, no giants of any, we would just live the Christian life, sinless, perfect. But we don't. Because every day, we have to choose the rest by faith. And so, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about this, we talked about unbelief and this cycle of unbelief. It's doubting God's word, which is what they did. They doubted God's word. They didn't think they could win. Then they depart from the living God, which means refuse to do God's will. They refuse to go into the land. They wouldn't do it. So they started with the doubt. Then they refused to go in the land. And then they settled outside of God's will. They said, no, this is all right. We'll stay right here. Hard heart. And he said, beware. Don't allow that to happen in your life because that can happen in our life as well. And we can settle outside of God's perfect will, his victorious Christian life, and we live a restless life. So last 2 weeks ago, we talked about the reason for restlessness, which was unbelief. The remedy for restlessness is Jesus. And that's what he was talking about. He said, Jesus is what brings us rest. And you think about all three of these. Faith in who? Jesus. Eternal rest is going to be eternally with Jesus. But this submission is Jesus. He is the one who's won the victory for us. Now let's get to our text. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Everybody listening to the podcast later didn't get to see all this drawing on the board, but the rest of you did. Maybe that'd be clear. And we'll come back to it. I'm going to write some more words maybe in a minute. But let's look at verse chapter 4, verse 1. Because he says, let us therefore fear. Well, that, why? So he says, you want to fear about something, here's what you should fear. Lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. You want to fear something? Fear living a life of restlessness. Fear living. These people ended up wandering around for 40 years restless in the wilderness until they died off and never claimed the promise, never was able to claim the promise because of their unbelief. And he says to the modern day Hebrew Christians, in the Bible, for us modern day Christians here in America, if you want to fear something, fear living your life, your Christian life, restless, never claiming the promise that's available to you. Not saying you're losing your salvation, not saying you're not going to get to heaven, but however long, I got saved at 12 and I'm 42. So I'm 30 years, and I wouldn't want to live 30 restless years. Now, if you were to go back and track my life, there's been a lot of restless times. But he's saying, if you want to fear something, fear that you're going to miss out on the promises of God and entering into this life of rest that he wants us to have. He says that any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, what, I mean, I could, this lesson could go forever because there's so many topics, but think of some of the promises that we could miss out on. And I was listening to someone speak a little bit this morning and just trying to think of some promises. And I could open up to the class, but then it could get awkward if you don't answer. And so if you think of one, feel free to raise your hand. But think about promises available to us as Christians. Remember, I preached a few weeks ago at church about John 14. And in John 14, I had to read fast over this verse that normally I'd spend tons of time on. But Jesus said, I got to leave, and it's going to be expedient or better for you guys that I leave. But when I go, you're going to do greater works than I've even done. And then he said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. That's prayer. There's the promise of prayer. But guess who the promise of prayer is not to? Those full of restlessness and unbelief. But there's a promise of prayer to the Christian. This is where my mind, I gotta keep it all in succinct because I want to go every which way. I've got a whole nother lesson I do about on revival. And I list out about 10 things in the New Testament that's just considered normal. And you know, answered prayer in the Bible, because there's so many places where Jesus or Paul writing just said, just ask and it'll be given. Answered prayer is considered something that's normal in the Christian life. But when's the last time we saw an answered prayer? Why isn't it normal? Sometimes I don't pray. Sometimes I spend more time worrying than I do praying. Unbelief. I miss out on a promise that I could have. So there's other promises in the Bible that that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. There's a lot of promises in the New Testament that are, can I say this? I'm gonna put this here. The promises, but all of this is the life in Christ. We are in Jesus Christ right now. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, you're in Jesus Christ. All these promises are available to you, but we still stand right, not saying still stand, like in this moment, but every day we have to claim those promises because there's going to be opposition. There's going to be giants that don't want us to. So he says there should be something that we fear. It's fear lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. So he's going back to his Old Testament illustration given in chapter 3 of these Jews that came out of Egypt. So when he says unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, I don't think Moses was standing up there saying Jesus Christ has come and died on the cross. He wasn't giving that. The gospel means in its original form the good news. So the good news was shared to them. What was the good news? The good news is, hey guys, on the other side of that Jordan River is a land flowing with milk and honey. The good news for them was when you go over there, you're going to have a rest. You're going to have victory over your enemies. Now, I got to stop and say this. When they got into Canaan, it wasn't just easy for them, right? They had battles to fight. They had to fight Jericho first thing when they finally did go, right? When they got to Jericho, I don't know if this is the time to give this, but let's just do it. When they got to Jericho, they had to do a few things, right? Did they go in with swords and fight this battle? No. But they had to, by faith, do the dumbest military strategy ever, right? I mean, I'm reading some, not military books, because I'm reading military books. I'm reading some books set in the old-time way when they fought with swords and stuff. And never do they just look at their city, say, hey, let's just march around it 13 times total and just shout and just see what happens. They don't ever do that in any of these strategy books. You know why? Because it doesn't make sense as a strategy unless God says, go do this. And God said, go march around that city one time for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around 7 times. And they did. They had a battle to fight. Like I have battles every day, like you have battles every day. They had a battle to fight, and their answer was to, by faith, go do what God said. And you know what I'm going to need to do on Monday tomorrow as I face battles? I'm going to need to, by faith, just do what God told me to do. We say, well, yeah, but they had an angel of the Lord come and actually tell them. Well, okay, we have the Bible. So tomorrow, when I get up, if I want to be at rest, I just do what the Bible says by faith. That's it. It's that simple. But we overcomplicate it, don't we? What overcomplicates it? Unbelief. It's unbelief. We're like, well, I need to take this into my own hands. I need to do this. I got to figure this. I'm not saying be lazy, and I'm going to come to this in a minute. I'm not saying we be lazy. I'm just saying we just trust and obey. Trust and obey. That's what they needed to do right here, but they didn't. And so now, because of their lack of faith and lack of obedience, they didn't enter in. So he goes, fear that you're not going to enter this promise. He says, for unto them the gospel or the good news was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. It didn't profit these guys. Why did it not profit them? Because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. The good news was told to them. The good news being, hey, the land of Canaan is perfect. But it didn't profit them. Why? Well, we know the story. They didn't believe it by faith. They got full of restlessness and anxiety, and they got worried. And so that generation, they didn't get to experience the rest. So what do you think the application is to these Hebrew believers, and what do you think the application is to us today? The only way we're not going to experience the promises that you have, you already have it right now. It's yours. The only way you don't experience this is if it's not mixed with faith. Faith is the only... If I was talking to you about this type of rest, I would sit down with you and say, if you need to be saved, the only way you're not going to receive Christ is if you refuse to receive Him by faith. Now, I would talk about sin and all that other stuff, but it's faith. It's faith. This is faith. You want rest in Christ? You have to trust and obey. It's faith. And so he says, it didn't profit them. They didn't get into the land because of their... It wasn't mixed with faith. He says, for we which have believed. Believe is an... I was going to write that word on here. So faith is the key word here if we want to receive this. But there's synonyms for faith, like the word believe. That's a synonym for the word faith. So he says, for we which have believed or have faith do enter into this rest. As he said, now he's quoting Psalm 95. It says, as I have sworn in my wrath, this is David writing this in Psalms concerning that time in the past, if they shall enter into my rest, although their works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing, and let me just read these verses, then I'll go back and explain them. He says, seeing therefore it remained as some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in. These guys didn't enter in. They didn't enter in because of what? Unbelief. Again he saith, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, so quoting Psalm 95 again, today, after so long time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, now let me stop because I got to explain verse 8, so I'll come back to that. So he's coming and he talks about when God created this world, and on the seventh day he rested. And he said that wasn't the only rest. There's a rest still available to you today. And he references back to an Old Testament time. He said this rest that they could have had in Canaan, David talked about it hundreds of years later. And he says we're still talking about it today because today this rest is still available. It's not a rest that just happened and now you can't be at rest, you just got to be restless. He's saying, no, it's available to you. He says, you got to claim it today. And then he says in that warning, he says, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. They hardened their heart. David was telling his people, and when he wrote, don't harden your heart, and this Hebrew writer was telling them 2,000 years ago, don't harden your heart. And me, some nobody from Cloverdale, Indiana, is saying to you 2,000 years forward, don't harden your heart. Rest is available every day in Jesus Christ. And so, the reason I stopped in verse 8, because it's not tricky, but it's an interesting little fact that I was like, oh, I had to look this up. It says, for if Jesus had given them rest, so he's talking about the past, so that's what threw me off this word Jesus. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken another day? And I was thinking, why does he say Jesus? Well, then someone mentioned it, so I started reading it. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Do you know what the, if Jesus, if you took the name Jesus and you went to the Old Testament, carried it back to the Old Testament, all right, and you put it in your Hebrew, you know what the name is Jesus in Hebrew? It's Joshua. So what happened here is the translators chose to translate the Greek and they carried the name Joshua. So they carried the name Joshua into the New Testament and he's writing. And when they translate it in the Greek, they put Jesus because it's the same, but it's the name Joshua. It's the same name. So here, he's actually referring to Joshua. So you can read, for if Jesus, or for if Joshua had given them rest, then would not he have afterward have spoken of another day? And so what he's saying is, if when Joshua later led the next generation into the land of Canaan, that was the only rest available, then I couldn't say here today and say, well, there's rest available. But he's saying they spoke of another day. There's more rest coming. In verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. So this is an important little phrase. He ceased from his own works. Doesn't mean you don't do anything in the Christian life. This is where some people can get confused. Some look at this like, hey, you know what? Here's the Christian life. I got saved. This is a wrong view of this. And one time, someone I highly respect asked me, like, you don't believe this, do you? And I'm like, no. But the idea was this. Some people, it's called passivity. They believe that I got saved, so all I got to do is have faith. I don't have to do anything. And God's just going to make everything happen. So I just sit here and do nothing. And they say there's no responsibility of man. It's all God. And that's true. But there is some responsibility. I'm not to live the Christian life in my own strength, trying to do everything. But I do have to do some things. So these people that go to the extreme don't even think you need to read the Bible. I don't need to read the Bible. I just trust God. Well, the problem is God tells us to study. God tells us to read the Bible. Well, I can't read the Bible. That's a work. And it tells me I got to cease from my own works and just trust God. No, he's not saying, see, I love what one preacher said. He said if he could change the old hymn instead of trust and obey, he would change it to this, trust to obey. He wasn't saying there's anything wrong with it. But he's saying we need to still obey in the Christian life, but we obey out of faith, depending on God for the strength to do it, instead of depending on myself. So if I stand up and teach this lesson, and I'm sitting here in my mind thinking, I've got a master's degree in Bible, and I do. And I would say, you know what? This class is lucky to have me as a teacher, and you're not. And I was to say, you know what? This text is so easy. I've got this. God, I'm not even praying. I don't pray all week. I don't need God. I just do this on my own. Do you know what's going to happen? This is going to be even worse than it is already right now for you. I mean, it's going to fall. Why? Now, the Spirit of God can work in different ways, and you could still get something from it because it's the Bible. But that was a silly illustration of me depending in my own strength, my own education, my own whatever, to try to teach a lesson. That's me being full of pride in my strength, saying, God, stay aside. And guess what? It's going to fall flat. Because the Christian life is faith. But on the other sense, I don't sit down and say, hey, guys, figure it out. It's by faith. Live the Christian life. No. We teach trusting that the Spirit of God works through us to help us understand the Word of God. We labor. We do whatever you do. You teach a class. You sing a song. You witness to people. You pray. Everything that we do in the Christian life is to be by faith saying, God, I'm in you. I'm trying to live in this area right here. I know I have these enemies. Leave it. I know I have these enemies. See, if you had a smart teacher, you wouldn't be running over things. I know I have these enemies and everything, but God, I live right here, and so I'm just going to trust you. I don't feel like this can work out, but I'm going to pray because you tell me to pray. I don't feel like I can ever witness to somebody, but you tell me to, and so I'm living here with this promise that I need to be a witness, and you tell me I can, and so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to grab a track, and I'm going to be a witness to my family member. God, I don't think I can do it. That's okay. It's not us. It's Christ in us. All we have to do as we're standing here is move forward in faith. That's it. Move forward in faith. So at the beginning of this, and I have more things to say in little time, but I think this is a point to ask you that. At the beginning of this, I said, is there anything are you at rest or are you restless? So think about what you could be restless about. You could be thinking, well, I don't know if my family member is saved or not. It bothers me. You could be thinking, well, some situation at work, and I don't know, I got to make a decision. I don't know what to do. And there could be a lot of things that you're restless about. So what do? We're standing right here, and we're restless over stuff. And these guys are going to pile on. I mean, they're going to pile on. They're going to try to resist. But we have to move forward, claim the promises by faith. You say, but I'm scared to death. Well, so were they. But they ended up wandering in a wilderness forever. The Christian life is not a matter of no fear. It's a matter of I'm scared, but I'm trusting Jesus above my fear. And so I'm going to continue to progress by faith. So he says, you're ceasing from your own works. You're not trying to do this in your own strength. You're trying to do it in the strength of God. So that's why anytime someone's telling me like, well, you know, I don't have a degree in Bible, so I can't do that. I'm like, well, you're a perfect candidate. I don't think it's wrong to get degrees. I don't think it's wrong to get college. But God, do you think God needs that? Do you think God's looking down at someone that has maybe a doctorate and saying, no, I got lucky with this guy. Whew, got a doctorate. Jesus picked fishermen. He picked tax collectors to be with his people. He doesn't need all of that. Nothing wrong with it. I would look at my daughter getting ready to go to college. I'm not saying it's a wrong to get education. But I'm just saying what he needs is faith. That's all he needs. Will you believe and will you obey? He can work with anybody. So there's no excuses. And so the last week we saw the reason for this restlessness was unbelief. The remedy was Jesus. But how do I receive this rest? It's by faith. And then what is my response now? Okay, so I believe it. By faith, this is how I get the rest, is by faith. So how do I receive it? You have to obey. It's spirit-filled obedience. Our response, to give you these three things, needs to be obedience. That's verse 10. He says he's entered this rest. He also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. But in verse 11 says, let us labor. Notice that ironic thing. He says, labor, therefore, to enter into this rest, lest any man fall of the same example of unbelief. Why? I love that he used the word labor. Because he just said you cease from your own works. Then he says, labor for rest. That sounds like the opposite. You know, Ryan is not at rest physically in his body today because he labored playing basketball. So those two terms usually don't go together. But what he's saying is you need to labor for this rest, because while you're standing here thinking about it, you've got a lot of attacks happening. Your flesh doesn't want to do it. Satan doesn't want you to progress by faith. So you have to labor. And it's a mental game. It's a grind. To say, no, I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus. That's why our theme this year is looking unto Jesus. That just sounds easy. Just put it on a Hallmark card. I'm just going to look unto Jesus. Okay, it sounds easy until your flesh starts getting acting up. Sounds easy until Satan starts acting up. Sounds easy until our country's falling apart. Think about what your kids and grandkids are going to be seeing in the next 20 years with the direction our country's going. You think it's going to be easy for them to stand here and claim these promises if mom and dad and grandma and grandpa aren't teaching them the truth to stand on by faith? Because this enemy right here is going to be putting up a lot of hurdles. So he's saying obedience. Our response needs to be obedience, but our response needs to be immediate. Look at go back to chapter 3 real quick. I'll just say this. I'm just reading a few verses to you. Back in chapter 3, notice the theme of all of this. I haven't emphasized this, but I am now. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, notice this word, today. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Look at verse 15. While it is said today, if you hear his voice. Look at chapter 4 again in verse 7, as I've already read. But in the second line, he says, today, after so long a time. Do you hear the emphasis in this text? This needs to be immediate. Like, I'm sharing this with you, but this is something we need to take hold of today. Don't live in restlessness. Claim the promises today by faith. Today. No, I hope to get there one day. No, today. All you have to do is by faith claim the promises of God and move forward in obedience. It needs to be immediate. And then our response ought to be to encourage others. We didn't emphasize this verse last week because I knew I'd come to it eventually, but look at verse 13 again in the beginning. But exhort or encourage one another daily. You know what we're to do as a church? Teach this right here. We need to encourage each other as a body to hey, you can do this. If you're someone that's full of anxiety and you got a friend that's nervous about something, you know what you need to remind them? Hey, I know that we have some, your dad will battle with worry. But remember, the Bible tells us the peace is ours in Jesus Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. So let's just pray. Maybe you just say to your friend, hey, let's just pray about this right now. I want you to claim the peace that you have in Jesus. You can word it however cool way you want to word it to sound cool to your friend, but that's the basic of it. You're asking your friend, hey, don't forget as you stand here, don't choose the path of restlessness. Choose the peace in Jesus. You have it. And so it's a terminology that the Hebrew author started to use to him, and I love this, the idea of rest. I went technical into it, but the overall idea is this, where I started. I want you to have rest in your Christian life. The Christian life is not meant to go around feeling frantic all the time and panicky. What am I going to do? And that's, I don't want to say this in a mean way, but that's not the testimony that Christ wants you to have. Because that just makes Christians look like, man, their God, he can save them and he's going to get them to heaven, but he just abandons them and lives them there in chaos. No. Rest is yours. But if you're standing here today and you got a decision to make, I hope that you'll choose to enter in by faith. Let's pray.